Hello, I'm Rob, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 16th of November 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacons. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading on this week's edition, we have myself, Rob, Christine, Angela, Liz, Helen, Pete, Mina, Simon, and of course, not forgetting, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have local news for the Black Country, an update from Beacon, information about video magnifiers, the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, and to round off, a Stop Press section from Beacon, including some dates for your diary. Local news to start, however, with Liz, Christine, myself, Rob, but first this time, it's Angela.
Almost 2,500 people have signed a petition calling for the much-loved creative heartbeat of Wolverhampton to reopen after closing down last week. The Lighthouse, which has been in the city for more than 30 years, shut on November the 3rd due to financial issues exacerbated because of COVID-19. The much-loved venue, which has been based in the Chubb Building since 1991, is understood to be the Black Country's only independent cinema. It has struggled in recent years and was on the brink of closure back in 2018, but a large outpouring of support from the public kept the site running. Now, a petition has been set up by the venue's marketing manager, Daryl Griffiths, in a bid to resuscitate the creative heartbeat of our city. The marketing manager added, "The Lighthouse was not the only independent venue going through a difficult time," adding, "The industry cannot keep taking these significant cultural hits. For now, it's time to demonstrate proper people power," he said. "Let's get the lights back on. Let's resuscitate the creative heartbeat of our city. Let's save Lighthouse Wolverhampton."
A Dudley MP has urged council chiefs to take the Home Office to court if it is found to have used local buildings to house asylum seekers. Marco Longhi said it was deeply unfair to place asylum seekers in properties in the borough while constituents were struggling to get social housing, and has backed Home Secretary Suella Braverman to tackle the migrant crisis, which he described as a national emergency. In a letter to Dudley Council, Mr. Longhi said, "I request the Council to take swift action against the Home Office if it is ever established that a hotel, hostel or any other accommodation, such as care homes, have been repurposed in Dudley by the Home Office. My constituents should be prioritised and a democratic process seeking their consent should always be implemented first." Mr. Longhi's intervention came after the Local Government Association warned that many councils across the country are not being told in advance of Home Office plans to use buildings for asylum seekers. 22 hotels in the West Midlands that are being used for asylum seekers, while at least three other prominent Black Country buildings are set to be taken over. Other buildings, such as care homes and holiday camps, are being sought due to the huge number of migrants crossing the Channel to the UK in small boats. The Home Office has described the use of hotels to house migrants as unacceptable and vowed to end the practice. Dudley Council last week launched an investigation into the former Castle Meadows nursing home on Dibdale Road after it emerged the building was being run as a hotel without local authority planning permission. Mr. Longy urged bosses to let the public know what is going on. He said, "Local people have a right to know who is occupying these premises."
Cases of bird flu have now been confirmed in Wolverhampton. The UK Health Security Agency is urging people not to touch any sick or dead wild birds following a spate of deaths in the city. Cases have been confirmed in Canada Geese in West Park, with pet owners asked to keep their animals on a lead and away from any potentially infected birds. Councillor Jasbir Jasbal, Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said, "I would like to reassure residents that the risk of them catching avian flu is very low. This is an infectious virus which spreads among birds, and it is very unusual for humans to be affected. However, we are issuing a precautionary warning as it is possible for humans to catch the virus through close contact with an infected bird, dead or alive. Therefore, it is very important that you do not touch any sick or dead wild birds you may find. Equally, you must not touch their droppings, eggs or bedding. If you find any dead wild birds in our parks, do not touch them and instead report them to Wolverhampton Council's Park Rangers team on 07766 473 150. In addition, please do not feed any birds until further notice, as this encourages them to congregate and risk spreading the infection to other birds." Wolverhampton Council and the UK Health Security Agency West Midlands are working together and liaising with the Department for the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs and the Animal, Plant and Health Agency to manage the situation and protect public health and reduce the risk to other birds, wildlife and pets.
Two parliamentary seats are to be lost in the Black Country in Staffordshire under a proposed shake-up of constituency boundaries. The final draft of the Boundary Commission for England's proposed new electoral map has gone out for consultation, with people being urged to have their say on the proposals before December 5th. The Commission has submitted revised proposals following an earlier consultation in March this year. If the proposals are implemented, one of either South Staffordshire MP Sir Gavin Williamson or his colleague Mike Wood in neighbouring Dudley South are likely to be looking for a new seat. The draft proposals will see the two seats effectively merge into one, with other parts of Dudley South being transferred into either the adjoining Dudley North, which will lose the North suffix, or Stourbridge constituencies. So Gavin had written to commissioners arguing that the South Staffordshire area had a distinct identity from that of Kings Winford. Residents of Kings Winford also objected, saying the proposal would see them cut off from the rest of Dudley Borough. Wolverhampton will retain three seats under the shake-up, at the expense of Walsall, which will see its quota reduced to two. Willenhall and Short Heath wards will be transferred into Wolverhampton North East, while Bentley and Darlaston North, Darlaston South and Willenhall South will move into Wolverhampton South East. A new Wolverhampton West constituency, made up of the city centre, Penn, Blakenall and Tetnall, will also be created. A cross-borough seat will also be created for Tipton and Wensbury, taking in the Dudley Borough seat of Coastley East. Previous plans, first proposed by David Cameron's government, would have seen the number of MPs reduced from 650 to 600, but these were abandoned before the last general election. Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon, back with your weekly update. Now, this past week has been National Trustees Week. Do you know much about what a trustee is? Well, here at Beacon, we're fortunate to have a board of eight dedicated trustees who come together to help govern our charity. They've got a range of backgrounds and expertise, but they all share a common passion, and that's for making a difference. You can find out more about our trustees and why they volunteer their time for Beacon on our website, www.beaconvision.org/meet-the-team. One thing we've been asking during the week is whether you could help our charity to make a difference. As I say, we're so proud of our dedicated trustee board who do so much to help make our charity what it is. If you think you've got the skills to join them and help Govan Beacon, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with my colleague, Victoria, at vwilcox, and that's W-I-L-C-O-X, vwilcox@beaconvision.org. Next up, our Christmas order book is open. Made by FabLab has a range of handcrafted gifts and decorations made to order just for you. New for 2022, we have a reusable Braille gift tag that can be personalised with your own festive message. Order now via our Etsy shop, www.etsy.com/UK/shop/MadeByFabLab. But if you've got the website or the Etsy app on your phone, just search Made by FabLab, all one word, and you should find us. You can also give us a call on 01902 880111 to find out more about our products. Or if you visit our Sedgley shop, we've got a lovely festive display there at the moment featuring all of the items. Now, on a more somber note this week, of course, we join the nation to come together to remember the sacrifices of our armed forces community. And on social media, we shared some of Beacon's tributes. Our retail team put together some beautiful window displays in remembrance, including a stunning handmade poppy dress that's been on display in our Hales Owen shop. Our members also wanted to pay their own tribute and put together a display of poppies and flags in our Sedgley social room that just looked fantastic. That's it for this week. I'll be back again soon with another update. Bye-bye.
Cheers for that update, Helen. Up now with our next block of local news, and starting this one off, we first hear Christine.
Work has begun to produce a permanent monument of thanks to COVID heroes from a Black Country borough. The Dudley Monument Project, started by Councillor Kieran Casey at the height of the pandemic, has received support from a wide range of people and organisations within Dudley, as well as right across the West Midlands. The sculpture takes the form of a rainbow, an important sign of hope throughout the pandemic right up and down the country. It will be based outside the borough's main hospital, acting as a permanent reminder of the work done during the pandemic by NHS, key workers, public health officials and those from community and voluntary organisations. The rainbow has now taken another step to becoming a reality, with the laser cutting to the materials now being completed by Midtherm Laser Limited, and now the coloured glass which will sit inside the sculpture being cut by Waterjet Midlands, both local Dudley companies. Councillor Kieran Casey said, "This is another key moment for the project, and it's fantastic to see all the components coming together to make this a reality. We now have the laser cut parts and the glass components being made, along with the foundations that have already been put in place, so we are making really good progress and are hoping to get this over to the fabricators to be all put together as quickly as possible. It's been great to work with local people, organisations and businesses on this project so far, and I want to once again say a massive thank you to everyone that has been involved in this and who have donated time, money and materials. It really has made a massive difference. We really do owe more than words can say to those who were on the front line in the fight against COVID, to those who were at risk every day just doing their jobs. That's whether it was in hospital wards, pharmacies, community volunteers, those who comforted residents in some of the darkest hours imaginable, to all those who ensured supermarket shelves were stacked and essential services continued, to mention just a few.
Patients face a postcode lottery when nurses go on strike later this year. While staff will walk out at some hospitals in the West Midlands, others are expected to be operating as normal. It comes as the numbers voting for strike action failed to reach the legal threshold at a number of NHS trusts. A list produced by the Royal College of Nursing as trusts voting for strike action leaves off many major hospitals in the region. While nurses at Birmingham Children's Hospital and Queen Elizabeth Hospitals voted for strike action, not enough voted at hospital trusts in the Black Country to make a strike legally binding. It means it is a case of business as usual for the likes of Wolverhampton's New Cross, Sandwell's General Hospital, Dudley's Russell Hall Hospital and Walsall Manor Hospital. The RCN said thousands of burnt out, underpaid nursing staff have left the profession in the last 12 months. Meanwhile, it argues that nursing student numbers are falling, with the latest UCAS figures showing a 7% drop in applicants accepted onto nursing courses compared with the previous year. The RCN is also arguing that nursing staff have been underpaid for at least a decade, making them worse off than many other professions. Nurses now face another real terms pay cut, the RCN says, which is why the union is demanding a pay rise for nursing staff of 5% above inflation.
A former Sainsbury's store in Wolverhampton city centre will not be redeveloped for another 3 years when the lease for the property expires, it has been revealed. The supermarket St George's site has already remained vacant for around 8 years after it closed down when a new superstore opened up off Ring Road St Mark's. The freehold of the building, a listed former church, was purchased by Wolverhampton Council in 2016, subject to an existing lease to the supermarket giant. Now, it has been revealed, the lease will expire in 3 years, with council chiefs in active dialogue to transform the site near to the West Midlands Metro stop. It is understood the building could be turned into homes, a school, or stores or offices, among other uses, but nothing official has been confirmed as of yet. Councillor Stephen Simpkins, Deputy Council Leader and Cabinet Member for City Economy, said, "The former Sainsbury's St George's site is a key strategic site that is referenced in the Wolverhampton Investment Prospectus and is earmarked for future development. The site is currently under lease to Sainsbury's for a further 3 years and will come forward on a phased basis subject to their lease concluding. The council is in active dialogue with prospective development partners on the redevelopment of this site and in wider consultation with Homes England." He added, "Any future scheme will also encourage a sensitive reuse and preservation of the listed church building, with all proposals subject to appropriate approvals and business cases." Councillor Simon Bennett, Deputy Leader of the Opposition Conservatives in the city, said, "Obviously, it's been closed since 2014. It's been a fair amount of time with nothing going on with the site in that time. We don't want to see large buildings empty in the city because they can attract antisocial behaviour and fall into disrepair. It's good news, it will be brought back into use, but it's been a long time coming."
More than 70,000 lecturers and other staff at 150 universities, including the University of Wolverhampton, will strike for 3 days later this month in a long-running dispute over pay, working conditions and pensions. The university and college union said the strikes on November 24th, 25th and 30th will be the biggest ever to hit UK universities and could impact 2.5 million students. The union said disruption can be avoided if employers make improved offers, but warned that strike action will escalate in the new year alongside a marking and assessment boycott if the dispute is not resolved. Union members will also begin industrial action short of strike action from November the 23rd, which includes working to rule, refusing to make up work lost as a result of strike action, and refusing to cover for absent colleagues. The strikes come after UCU members overwhelmingly voted in favour of industrial action last month in two national ballots over pay and working conditions, as well as pensions.
Now it's time to test your knowledge, as we have the quiz questions for this edition, and they're brought to us by Mina.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What does the word November mean in Latin? Question 2. What is the birthstone for November? Question 3. Who never mentioned November in his writings? Question 4. When were TV detector vans introduced? Question 5. What is the proper name for a policeman's helmet? And finally, question 6. What were policemen's helmets first made from? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Cheers for those questions, Mina. I'll get my mind working on those. Up now, however, it's another block of local news. Dudley Chiefs will need to pay out up to £500,000 to develop their own housing proposals after exiting the controversial Black Country plan last month, it has been revealed. Councillor Patrick Harley, who leads the authority, said he wasn't prepared to sacrifice Greenbelt land to keep others happy as he pulled the plug on the major scheme. It led to council leaders from Walsall, Sandwell and Wolverhampton criticising the decision, with chiefs declaring their intent to recover the costs from Dudley Council. Now it has emerged the borough itself will need to pay out an estimated £500,000 over 3 financial years, between 23-24 to 25-26, to develop its own plan. Councillor Harley said the costs will be split over 3 years and funding, potentially from reserves or elsewhere, will be put aside to meet the figure. Wolverhampton has said its anticipated plan budget would be around £290,000. Councillor Harley explained that the borough could just about meet its own housing need without encroaching onto the Greenbelt, and the authority had a duty to listen to residents opposed to the scheme. Sites which could have been swallowed up under the original plans included around 533 homes at the Triangle on Swindon Road and a further 330 on land south of Holbeach Lane, both in King's Winford. Leaders at the authority will discuss the decision to withdraw and to proceed with another plan.
Police have warned car thieves to expect to be caught following a spate of thefts from Coseley Railway Station car park. Locals have reported cars being taken from the station on a frequent basis in recent months, with some calling for more to be done to shore up the area in the Dudley Borough. A white Ford Fiesta was taken on October the 24th, while a black Ford Fiesta Titanium is believed to have been stolen on September the 13th. The car park is managed by Transport for West Midlands and is free to park. Sergeant Mike Sanders from the Dudley North Neighbourhood Police Team said, "We understand the concern and frustration this causes people. Our Vehicle Crime Task Force is heavily involved in investigating the rise in vehicle crime. Therefore, offenders can expect to be caught or woken by early morning police raids for their actions. In order to robustly tackle these crimes, we also need commuters to be the eyes and ears of the community and report any suspicious activity at station car parks immediately. We also advise motorists to use wheel locks, heavy-duty chain link or brake disc locks to make your vehicle less appealing to opportunistic criminals." West Midlands Police launched its Vehicle Crime Task Force last month in response to increasing numbers of car thefts in the past year. Detective Superintendent Jim Munro, who heads up the task force, said, "Having a vehicle stolen can cost livelihoods and cause huge inconveniences in our everyday lives, from not being able to attend appointments or having to make other arrangements to get children to school. We'll have plainclothes officers supporting our visible police presence and will act on intelligence we receive."
Urgent calls have been made for financial chiefs in Wolverhampton to use £3.7 million of surplus funds that the council holds in reserves and spend it on helping the city's most vulnerable people during the cost of living crisis. A meeting of the Council's Reserves Working Group this week heard that its general fund balance stands at £13.7 million, approximately 5% of the net budget for 2022 to 2023, and that the local authority retains a minimum balance of £10 million at all times to address any unexpected challenges. In a report presented to members, the council's chief accountant, Alison Shannon, said that maintaining this balance was in line with recommended best practice. However, Councillor Udi Singh, the authority's vice chair for resources and equality, said that if the minimum amount required to be held in reserves was £10 million, then the council should use the additional £3.7 million to help people struggling to stay afloat financially due to soaring costs. Councillor Ellis Turrell added, "I have to support my colleague here. We're in a cost of living crisis, so in my opinion, there shouldn't be any reserves that we are not spending in this financial year. They should all be put to use." The council report said, "Reserves are made up of revenue resources which have been set aside by the council in previous financial years in order to fund specific items of expenditure in the future, and they play a vital role in the financial sustainability of the council." The council's director of finance, Claire Nye, said, "Technically, we could use this money. For example, if something totally unexpected happened, the reserve is there to be drawn on, particularly in times of crisis. But then we would put plans in place to top that back up to £10 million as soon as possible, as that is the minimum threshold. I think it's prudent that we hold that level of reserves going forward. I would be concerned if we were to use all of that in 1 year, because these reserves form part of our overall financial position that I have to consider when we come to budget setting."
An 84-year-old retiree has spent the last 3 years maintaining a derelict graveyard where his wife and son are buried. Bill Jones of Prince's End, Tipton, has spent every morning for the last 3 years taking care of Christchurch Graveyard on Church Road, Coseley, after it was left to fall into disarray. Mr. Jones, a retired builder, was inspired to clean up the grounds after visiting his late wife's and son's plot, only to find that the grounds were left to grow unruly and the graves were in need of repair. He spoke about cleaning the grounds and the work he has done. "This all started about 3 years ago. The graveyard was in real disrepair. It was honestly like a jungle," he said. "When I first came, there were brambles and fallen trees, and the individual graves had collapsed and needed fixing. Some people had said that they had fallen on the pathways. It was horrible." With the permission of the church, the 84-year-old began his work on the grounds, soon being joined by new friend Dennis Watkins, 70, and son David, 58, who helped him to mow, place flowers and cut away brambles. Since taking over maintenance of the grounds, Bill and Dennis have placed over 1,200 pots, each with flowers and 4 bags of gravel, and cut the grass daily to make sure that the grounds look respectable. Reverend Emma Stamford, vicar for Christchurch, said, "The church is incredibly grateful for the amount of help the group have provided. This is the sort of thing that we would really love to encourage. With an older congregation at the church and a lack of financing, it's really hard for us to maintain and mow it. In the year of COVID, myself and other volunteers tried to clear as much as we could, but we really appreciate the help of Bill and his group." Mr. Jones said, "We are doing really well here. We could use a bit more gravel or a few more pots, but I just wish we had some more volunteers to come along and help out. We would love to see some more smiling faces."
Up now, we hear from Pete, who has for us a piece all about video magnifiers and how they may be a benefit to you.
If you're struggling with reading and need a magnifier, have you ever considered a video magnifier, or sometimes known as a digital magnifier? Well, Beacon have a range of video magnifiers that you can come in and try. Now, a video magnifier, you can increase or decrease the magnification, so you can turn it up a bit or you can turn it up quite a lot to help you read. You can change contrast settings on a video magnifier, so you can look at something in true color, or you could change the contrast to black on white, or white on black, or yellow on black, or black on yellow. it's whatever works best for you. So there's a range of combinations there that you can try to find the right one. You can also freeze images on a video magnifier. So let's say there's something in your fridge, a piece of some food. You could take a little picture because the angle's a bit difficult to read of it, and then bring the magnifier away and then zoom it up. So if it's something like the sell-by dates or ingredients on food, you can read it comfortably there. So video magnifiers range from small handheld magnifiers you can sit comfortably in an armchair to read with, up to medium-sized ones, which are about the size of laptops, and then there's desktop magnifiers with big, large 24-inch screens, which really make magnification strong. So, if you would like to try a video magnifier to see if that would help you, you're very welcome to. Just call Beacon's Sight Loss Advisors for an appointment. And remember, bring something you struggle to read with you. So if you'd like to try a video magnifier, give us a call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor. 01902 880 111.
Coming up next on this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have another block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear from Liz.
The winner of an unclaimed £7.44 million lottery win has finally come forward almost 5 months after the win. National lottery operator Camelot confirmed a claim had been lodged just weeks before the deadline for receiving the jackpot would have expired. The winning ticket had been bought in the Wolverhampton area on June the 18th. The winner came forward following a high-profile appeal in The Express and Star, featuring Wolves legend Steve Bull. The ticket, which matched all six main numbers in the draw, had previously remained outstanding. It is the third multi-million pound lotto jackpot to be claimed in the space of a week, with £12.8 million win followed by a £3.8 million jackpot. The claim will now go through a process of validation to ensure the terms and conditions have been adhered to. Once the ticket has been validated and paid, the ticket holder will then decide whether or not to go public and share their news. Andy Carter, senior winners advisor for the National Lottery, said, "What amazing news for this lucky ticket holder who has claimed their prize. In the last 7 days alone, we've seen over £24 million in lotto, jackpot prize money won and claimed by lucky lotto players. Our focus is now on supporting this jackpot ticket holder through the process and helping them start to enjoy their truly life-changing win. National lottery players are given 180 days from the day of the draw to claim their prize, meaning that the prize would have been lost had the winner not claimed by December the 15th.
Keepers are thanking the public for their help in tracking a bald eagle that went missing from a zoo. Cremorne, a 13-year-old bald eagle, was taking part in her daily exercise with keepers at Wild Zoological Park in Halfpenny Green when she became spooked by crows and flew off course. The keepers launched into action, tracking the bird on foot and calling on social media for people to keep an eye out for the massive bird of prey. Alice Spark, head keeper at Wild Zoological Park, said she did have a GPS tag, which we were tracking for a while, but the battery must have been faulty because it died in a couple of hours. That's in the bin now. We weren't too worried. We were pretty certain she wouldn't go too far. It was just a case of keeping an eye on her, waiting for her to be somewhere it would be easy to retrieve her from. The public reported several sightings to the zoo, including one over the M54 services in Shifnal. Then a member of the public reported the magnificent bird had been seen perching on St Cuthbert's Church in Donnington near Albrighton. Keepers rushed to the church around 7 miles from the zoo, as the eagle flies, where Cremorne was still waiting. "As soon as she saw us, she came straight down," Alice added. "She seemed really happy to see us. We were really relieved and just so grateful for everyone's help. We had so much help from so many people and we're all so thankful. The initial post to Facebook was shared over 2,000 times, with many people offering to take to the streets to search for the bird. News of Cremorne's return was celebrated online, with commenters expressing their relief at the brilliant news.
Work on a new school building, which will transform the education offered to pupils in Wolverhampton, will start next summer. It has been announced. The new facility at St Peter's Collegiate Academy will replace four of the current seven buildings on the site, with the construction giant Kier set to take on the work. Established in 1844, the Mixed Academy Church of England School in Compton is part of the Free Spires Trust and is one of the first in the country to be announced as a part of the Department for Education's rebuilding programme. The new build will hopefully improve and transform the education needs for the Academy's current and future students. St Peter's Vice Principal Daniel Sheriff said, "Although St Peter's is much more than the buildings, it is undoubted that moving into the new building in 2025 will transform the education we offer to our students current and in the future. The multi-phase project will involve design and planning, the demolition of existing buildings, creation of specialist temporary accommodation, and the building of a new secondary school." Former pupils of St Peter's include ex-football player and manager Don Howe, One Direction singer Liam Payne, cycling champ Hugh Porter, and Marvel Comics artist Mike Perkins.
Nothing signifies the approach of Christmas like the glow of seasonal lights. And for those looking to really get into the festive spirit, there are a host of Christmas light switch-ons planned this year. Wolverhampton always puts on a show in the city centre, and this year promises to be no different, with the Queen Square switch-on on November the 19th. The fun will start at 3 p.m. with a fun fair and festive market on Dudley Street featuring real reindeer, face painting and food and drink. Wolverhampton BBC star Hey Dougie will entertain the children, and singer Tony Christie will serenade the crowd with hits including the famous Is This the Way to Amarillo, before joining the Mayor of Wolverhampton, Councillor Sandra Samuels OBE and Father Christmas to switch on the lights at 6 p.m. Santa's Grotto is set to return to the Lower Mall of the Manda Centre between December 3rd and the 23rd. And for those looking for some festive competition, a Nutcracker Trail with 14 full-sized Nutcracker soldiers to find will take over the streets of Wolverhampton City Centre. Wolverhampton Christmas light switch-ons are as follows. Wolverhampton City Centre, November the 19th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., light switch on at 6 p.m. Wensfield High Street, November the 24th, 4:30 to 7 p.m, switch on at 6:30 p.m. Bilston Church Street, November the 25th, 4:30 to 7 p.m, with the switch on at 6:30 p.m. Tetnall Upper Green, November the 26th, 4:30 to 7 p.m, switch on at 6:30 p.m. Bantock House, Finchfield, November the 27th, 4:30 to 7 p.m, with a switch on at 6:30 p.m. Dudley Christmas light switch-ons are as follows. Hales Owen Christmas light switch-on, Summer Square, November the 19th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Stourbridge Christmas light switch-on, Stourbridge Town, November the 26th, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Dudley and Briley Hill, December the 3rd, with details still to be finalised.
Up now, it's trivia time, brought to us by Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello again, everyone. Hope that you're all as well as can be and gearing up for Christmas, which, I hesitate to remind you, is just 39 days away. But for now, here are a few things about this month to chew over. Now then, did you know that? November's name has remained unchanged since ancient Roman calendar, which was in use until 45 BC. This first Roman calendar was made up of only 10 months, with November being the ninth month. November actually translates as the ninth month in Latin, but when two new months were added and November became the 11th, November was never renamed. And November has just one birthstone, the radiant topaz. The topaz is symbolic of many things, but most of all it's a symbol of strength and honour. The ancient Greeks also believed that the stone had the ability to turn oneself invisible. And William Shakespeare apparently wasn't too fond of November. Hailed as one of the all-time greatest writers of English literature, Shakespeare wrote 154 sonnets and 37 plays, which are still in production today. In all of the works that Shakespeare wrote, the month November isn't mentioned a single time. And TV detective vans were first demonstrated in November 1952, allegedly to catch people with unlicensed tellies. Different makes of vans were used from 1952 until 2003, but no one can say 100% whether TV detection is technically possible. However, some conclusions may be drawn by looking at the number of times detective van evidence has led to a conviction of non-payers. The answer to this question is none. The BBC now claim that vans were used to influence perception, which I guess is doublespeak for trick. And our traditional UK policeman's helmet, or to use its proper name, the custodian helmet, is worn by male police officers and sergeants while on foot patrol in England and Wales. Officers of all ranks in most forces also are issued with a flat peak cap that is worn on mobile patrol in a vehicle. The custodian hat shape has been worn since 1829, when it replaced the earlier stovepipe hat. And while we're on the subject, the Bobby's hat was originally made of cork, but is now much stronger and made from heavy-duty plastic and covered with felt. Well, that was a bit of a mixed bag this week, I thought. There's a few new things there to astound your friends with. And who'd have thought topaz made a person invisible, eh? In road up, I'm off down the market and see if they've got any topaz left. I could do with not being seen at times. And if they've got none, I'll put some on my list for Santa. Till next week then, I'll just say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Up now, we're to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, as always, by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead is a mixture of sunshine and showers, with temperatures hovering around 10 degrees for most of the week, with UV levels expected to be low. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 16:04 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday, 18th of November, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. Moving on to the weekend, on Saturday, 19th of November, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. On Sunday, 20th of November, we have light rain showers and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. Moving into next week, Monday, 21st of November, again light rain showers and moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. For Tuesday, 22nd of November, it's light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. For Wednesday, 23rd of November, light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. And finally, for Thursday, 24th of November, it's light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. So, that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Cheers for that weather update, Mina. Up now, it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on. Inform Albion signed off for the World Cup break with a third successive win and clean sheet as Brandon Thomas Asante lit up the Hawthorns with a spectacular goal to beat Stoke. Carlos Corberan's men were comfortable 2-0 winners to climb out of the Championship relegation zone in their best performance yet under the new Spanish head coach and best showing for many months. Man of the moment, Kyle Bartley, continued his redemption story with a towering first-half header to give the hosts a one-goal half-time lead against the Potters, who were second-best throughout. It could have been 3 or 4 at the interval, but it mattered not, thanks to a moment of sheer magic from Thomas Asante, who started the season playing in the fourth tier, but scored one of the best goals the EFL will see all season, with an incredible acrobatic bicycle effort that lobbed over helpless goalkeeper Jack Bonham. It is the first time the Baggies have won 3 games in a row since August 2021 under Valerian Ismail. Albion were terrific across the board from start to finish and were rarely troubled by Stoke. Corberan's men climbed to 21st, just 2 points behind Stoke in 17th. Should Albion win their game in hand on much of the division, it would take them to just 5 points at the top 6. Such is the remarkable turnaround and recovery under Corberan, having taken all 9 points from the 9 available. John Swift, Dara O'Shea, Connor Townsend and Jason Malumbi in particular all gave standout individual performances. It is some return leading into the World Cup pause. Albion have momentum on their side, and while that will be halted, Baggies fans will be licking their lips at the prospect of Corberan and his staff furthering the squad development in the form of a mini pre-season, which it is hoped Albion can make further strides. Daryl Dyke capped the afternoon, making a return from more than 3 months out injured in stopped time on an extremely satisfying afternoon at the Hawthorns. Wolves entered the World Cup break bottom of the Premier League after a 2-0 defeat at home to league leaders Arsenal. The hosts entered half-time drawing 0-0 after a superb tactical display in which they kept Arsenal quiet and launched exciting attacks on the counter. But just 10 minutes into the second half, all that good work was undone when Martin Odegaard fired home from close range to give Arsenal the lead. The attacking midfielder doubled his tally and put Arsenal 2-0 up 20 minutes later, as Wolves probed for a goal but were unable to find one. The result leaves Wolves bottom of the Premier League after Nottingham Forest's win earlier in the day, as the clubs now enter the break for the World Cup. After the game, interim manager Steve Davis said, "The game plan, as you could see, was to counter and to use Adama and Guardes to attack quickly. I thought the plan in the first half worked perfectly," Davis said. "But we're relying on decisions from referees or VAR to get the opportunity. Those sort of things aren't going for us and we need to get that break. If we'd gone into half-time 1-0 up, it would have been a much different game as we would have had something to defend and the first half would have been a reward for our good play. I'm disappointed with the decision really. I'm really disappointed. Why do we have VAR if they can't make a decision or they don't make a decision when they should do? There's no point in having it. I don't see why we should have to take the decision upstairs when they can't even make the decision. I don't see the point of it. It's a waste of time." Wolves' new head coach, Julen Lopetegui, said Wolves need workers and fighters to get out of their current situation. The former Real Madrid and Spain boss was introduced to the Molineux crowd ahead of the 2-0 defeat against Arsenal on Saturday, with the 56-year-old officially unveiled as the club's new head coach on Monday after penning a 3-year deal. He revealed how an improvement in his family circumstances made it the right time to take the role, after previously turning down the chance to replace Bruno Lage due to the ill health of his father. He said, "6 years ago, I had the possibility to be here, but now I am here. It is the right moment. Wolves want me and I want to be here. I want to be in the Premier League and I feel the strength of this club. I know we're not in the best situation, but we're sure we're going to change this by working hard. I believe in the players." The Spaniard will have a 5-week wait for his Molineux bow in the League Cup clash with Gillingham on December 20th, before 3 Premier League games over the festive period ahead of the January transfer window. And Lopetegui insisted that he believes in the squad already at the club, however, he will be looking to strengthen in the window. Lopetegui also insisted that he wants Raul Jimenez fit to play for Wolves, after the striker has been missing with a groin injury since August 31st, but is expected to travel with Mexico for the World Cup. Have you done any good at the quiz this week? Well, now's the time to find out, as we have the quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What does the word November mean in Latin? And the answer, the ninth month. Question 2. What is the birthstone for November? And the answer? Topaz. Question 3. Who never mentioned November in his writings? And the answer here, of course, is William Shakespeare. Question 4. When were TV detective vans introduced? And the answer? 1952. Question 5. What is the proper name for a policeman's helmet? And the answer here is the custodian. And finally, question 6. What were policemen's helmets first made from? And the answer? Cork. So, how many did you get right? All, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Bye for now.
Thanks very much for that, Mina. And now, hold the presses with a stop press section from Beacon, including some dates for your diary.
Beacon VIP Group. We're a group of working aged people and or people who live independently with sight loss that meet once a month for a social gathering. We are a friendly bunch that like to try new activities, build friendships and encourage others to live life to the full. November is a double whammy for the VIP group as we have two activities booked for you. On Wednesday, 23rd November, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m, we have a first aid awareness session tailored especially for the Beacon VIP members. Topics covered include the recovery position, bleeds, strokes, shock, primary survey, patient care, and communication and CPR. Limited spaces. To book, call 01902 880111. Next up, on Wednesday the 30th of November from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m, we have a bell ringing concert. Come along to a bell ringing concert in the coffee bar at the Beacon Centre. Enjoy a variety of songs, tunes and Christmas carols. You even get the opportunity to have a go at playing the bells yourself. This is a free concert and all the musicians are volunteers. There will be a collection for the group during the afternoon. Book your space now. Friends and family welcome. Call 01902 880 111.
What's on this month? Heritage Walk in the Black Country Living Museum. We've been invited on our very own heritage walk around parts of the Black Country Museum with our own guide on Friday the 25th of November. You will still be able to take it at your own pace. Volunteer guides are available. We will be finishing at their brand new cafe. Parking is available at Rolfe Street Car Park. We are meeting outside the new visitor centre. Trip costs £19.99. This is an unchained pass. You get access to the museum for 12 months free of charge. Minibus cost £5. Depart at 10:15 a.m, Beacon to the Black Country Living Museum, and back at 1:30 p.m, weather permitting. Tenpin Bowling, Castlegate, Dudley. Book for bowling on Friday the 18th of November at 11 a.m. All abilities welcome, friendly and fun atmosphere. Trips cost £6.45 for two games, pay at the bowling alley. Minibus cost £5. Depart at 10:30 a.m, Beacon to Castlegate, and back at 2 p.m. Spinning. Brand new to Beacon, we are now offering spin classes. With tandem being seasonal, we thought we would offer a spin session. Why sit on your own bike by yourself when you can join other people and even get to choose the music yourself? Led by a qualified instructor who will show you how to use the bike, gears, different positions and motivate you to spin, sweat and sing. And yes, Mary is your crazy instructor. Minimum numbers required. Taking place at Central Baths, Wolverhampton, 11 a.m. till 12, Monday the 21st of November. Trip costs £5, invoiced by Beacon. Minibus cost £5. Depart at 10:30 a.m, Beacon to Central and back at 12:30 p.m. All activities must be booked in advance. Simply call 01902 880 111.
Do you live in Wolverhampton? If so, we'd really appreciate a few minutes of your time to help shape services in the city in return for a donation to Beacon. The City of Wolverhampton Council is currently running an online lifestyle survey to better inform services offered in the area. It takes around 5 to 10 minutes to complete and is all done anonymously. And for every survey completed, the council is making a donation to a local charity. To ensure Beacon benefits, all you need to do is select the Beacon Centre as the charity you would like to receive funding in the final question. It's a chance to help shape services locally while making a difference here at Beacon, and we'd so appreciate your time. You can access the survey via the following link, www.wolverhampton.gov.uk/lifestyle survey. That's www.wolverhampton.gov.uk/lifestyle survey. If you've got any problems filling it out though, please ask one of our team and they'd be sure to help you. You can also, if you'd like, share this with family or friends you know who live in Wolverhampton who might be willing to complete it on behalf of Beacon. We'd so appreciate your support.
If you're thinking of moving home, two-bedroom supported living apartments, especially designed for people with sight loss, are available at Beacon with Bromford Housing. Bromford work in partnership with Beacon, and Beacon Court, located in Sedgley, is just a short distance from Wolverhampton city centre, with luscious parks, local shops and public transport links right on its doorstep, offering you comfort, security and convenience alongside independent living and a wide variety of choices. Each home has its own front door opening onto a wide corridor. Every apartment door has an individual access card or bracelet, and there is also 24-hour CCTV around the external building and internal communal areas. There's a pool cord in each apartment, a 24/7 care team on site 365 days a year, offering care packages and availability in the case of emergencies, and 30 minutes a week of well-being time for help with post, finances or any other support you may need. Additional well-being packages are also available. All two-bedroom retirement apartments are gas centrally heated with UPVC double glazing, a central reception hall, cloak store, kitchen with appliances, a lounge, two generous bedrooms, a wet stroke shower room and a door to the central landscaped garden. If you feel the time is right for a new start with a new home, application forms are available from the reception desk at Beacon Court, Charles Haywood Drive, WV4 6GA. Or to request an application or to view an apartment, please contact Sharen Collymore on 01902 882 170 or email Sharen, that's spelt CHARENNE, dot Collymore at bromford.co.uk.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880 111. email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who, without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. Please note, the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!